This morning we encounter the story of Esther. For those of you who might not be familiar with her story, she's a Hebrew woman who finds herself unexpectedly named queen in Persia. And she discovers a plot to kill all the fellow Jews there. So her cousin Mordecai encourages her strongly to use her position to defend her people, even if it comes at great personal risk. And this morning I'd like to share God's word with you a little differently. Instead of giving a traditional sermon, I'd like to share God's word from Esther's perspective, to invite you to hear what she might say to us if she was here with us today, and to hear how God might be moving in each of our lives through Esther's own words. So our text this morning picks up right where Mordecai learns that the king has decided to kill all the Jews, and he's pleading with his cousin Esther to go before God, or the king, and defend her people. Hear God's word this morning. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes and put on a sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in a sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province in which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloths and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She even sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hadak, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend to her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hadak went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave them a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and to explain to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and to plea with him for her people. Hadak went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and all the people of the royal provinces know that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends a gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go and gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or 3 nights. Then I and my attendants will fast as you do. And then when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am Queen Esther of Persia, but I wasn't always queen. I was born a simple Hebrew girl named Hadasha, and it has been a long and arduous journey to get to where I am today. Many years ago, when I was just a young girl, King Xerxes had a different wife, Queen Vashti. But he got very angry with her and cast her aside and decided to choose a new wife for himself. I heard that the king had thrown a great party to show his power and his wealth throughout all the land. It went on for 180 days of rich eating and feasting and drinking. He was showing off to those around him. Well, into the party, he summoned Queen Vashti to come and entertain the guests. I had heard that she was a beautiful woman, and my guess is that he wanted to show her off to all the important people that were gathered there. But Queen Vashti wanted nothing to do with it. She disobeyed the king, refused to go. Boy, this angered King Xerxes like no other. He banned her from his presence, and he took away her crown, casting her aside, queen no longer. The king is an arrogant and prideful man, and he tolerated no disrespect. So he decided to set an example of Queen Vashti and hoped that his harsh treatment of her would serve as a warning to women throughout the country that they too needed to get in line and do what they were told. It seemed harsh to me, but I believe that this is what the king did because he was quick-tempered. He was used to getting his own way. Over time, the king became lonely, and one of his advisors thought it was time to find him a new wife. So they went all throughout the country looking for young, beautiful virgins to come and gather at the palace so that the king could choose himself who would be his next queen. That's where I come in. I was always beautiful. As a young girl, I was used to men watching me as I walked down the street. So I, along with maybe 100 other women, were gathered and brought to the palace to spend a year preparing to meet this king. We spent time making ourselves more beautiful, having our hair done, eating the best food, receiving the most extravagant beauty treatments, getting ourselves ready to go before the king and to see if we might be the one that was chosen. I won't lie to you, it was a pretty good year. I enjoyed the perks of living at the palace. I experienced luxuries that I never could have known as a simple Hebrew girl. I was unsure of this king, but I was delighted in the attention and the special graces I received at the palace. I enjoyed the easy life and made many friends with the other women that were gathered there. We enjoyed eating and laughing and talking together, not really thinking what the future would hold, but enjoying the gifts that we found ourselves with. But even though I grew close to many of these women, I always kept my Jewish heritage a secret. Never went by my Hebrew name, Hadashah, only would be called Esther. It was my cousin Mordecai that warned me to keep my identity secret. He knew that the people in the palace didn't look favorably upon Jews. He didn't want me to be punished for my faith. And so for many years, I kept my faith a secret. Eventually, it was my turn to go before the king and see if I might favor him and he might choose me to be his queen. One by one, my friends had gone and spent the night with the king. One by one, they were rejected and sent back to live as the king's harem for the rest of their life. I was nervous going before the king, not sure what to expect. I had heard rumors and whispers of his temper and his pickiness, but I obeyed. Like the good girl that I was, not wanting to anger the king. And somehow, some way, the king found favor with me, and I was dumbstruck when he chose me, little old me, to be his queen. Makes me wonder, why did he pick me? Was it simply because I was beautiful, or could there have been something more? Quickly, I became swept up in the excitement of it all. The king threw a great banquet for me. He declared a national holiday. There were parties and celebrations galore. And I enjoyed my new status as queen of Persia. For the most part, I didn't have much to do with the king at all. He left me to my own devices. I only came when he called me to come. And oftentimes, months would go in between before he wanted to see me again. But I made it a point of obeying every single thing that he said. I'd be stupid not to, thinking of what happened to my predecessor, Queen Vashti. Life was good, and I settled into this new way of living. After a few years, though, something happened that shook up my life and shook up my country. There was a great threat against me and my Jewish people. King Xerxes had chosen this nasty, nasty man to be one of his top advisors. His name was Haman. And Haman, hated the Jews. It was something about his people and my people that went back for generations. And he made it his personal mission to wipe out the Jews throughout all of the land. And I was terrified when he singled out my cousin Mordecai and went to make an example of him. Not sure exactly what happened, but I heard that Hammond was expecting people to bow down to him like he was king or something. And my cousin refused to do it. At the time, I thought Mordecai was just being foolish and hard-headed. But looking back, I see now that Mordecai was taking a stand for his faith. And that was something admirable. But the fact that he wouldn't bow down before Haman angered him so greatly that he lashed out not only at Mordecai, but against all the Jewish people. And he wanted to punish each and every one of us for Mordecai's disobedience. And so he plotted with the king, and he told the king how dangerous we were because we followed God and we lived by our own customs and traditions. And he convinced the king that all the Jewish people should be wiped out from the land. And King Xerxes passed a decree that on the 12th month on a certain day, that all the Jewish people should be slaughtered where they stood, young and old, male and female, wiped out from the land. As word spread throughout the country, the Jewish people wept and mourned, tore their sackcloths, begged for God's mercy. But I knew nothing of it. Living inside the palace, I was pretty separated from the ordinary people, the common problems. And I didn't believe what I heard until I saw it with my own eyes. Mordecai sent me the decree, and when I read that indeed the king had sentenced all the Jews to death, I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. Mordecai thought I should use my position to plea my case before the king, but I was afraid to do so because they still didn't know that I was a Jew, and I didn't want to put myself in harm's way. Even more than that, I didn't want to anger the king. I wasn't allowed to go before him unless he called me. I could be put to death for that sin. I'd become accustomed to my way of life and happy to enjoy the luxuries of the palace and to pretend like nothing else was happening. Yes, I was heartbroken that my fellow Jews would die, but I thought maybe if I kept my mouth shut, that nobody would know and I would survive. But then Mordecai said something that stuck with me until this day. He says, "Don't think that because you're in the king's house that you alone out of all the Jews are going to escape. Because if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will come from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows? Maybe it's for such a time as this that God has called you." Mordecai's words cut me deep down to the bone. Even if I did nothing, God would still find a way to save his people, but I would be forgotten. And maybe God had brought me to this place in my life for such a time as this. This was a turning point in my life. I could no longer play both sides, valuing my Jewish heritage on one hand and relaxing in the luxuries afforded to me because of my position and title. I had to choose. Who was I? What did I stand for? Would I allow myself to be paralyzed by fear forever? No. I knew that now was the time, and I had to say something, that I could no longer keep my true heritage to myself, that I needed to confess to the world that I too was a Jew and that I followed God Almighty. I would cower no longer. So I made my plan and I prayed for 3 days and for 3 nights, and I was terrified to go before the king. And yet I knew I had put it off too long, that I had let too many opportunities to stand up for my faith pass by, and that I wouldn't let a single one pass by again. I knew that I had to stand my ground. So I set my resolve and I went before the king. Fortunately, the king was pleased to see me, and he promised to grant me anything I wanted, even up to half of his kingdom. I don't know what I did to earn such favor in his eyes. Thinking that it would be good to approach him gently, I invited him and Haman to a banquet in their honor. And during that time, the king, having eaten a lot and drank a lot, was awfully happy, and he said again that he'd give me anything I wanted. But I thought it was wise to wait before I pleaded my case, so I invited them once again to another banquet the next day. Haman especially seemed to be enjoying this special attention, maybe enjoying it a little too much. He seemed proud and arrogant about being able to keep court with just the king and queen. And I even heard him boast about how he was going to single-handedly wipe out all of my people, starting with my cousin Mordecai. Little did he know what was coming. The next day, when the king asked me what I want, I laid everything out on the line right then and there. "Grant me my life," I said. "Grant me my life and the life of my people." The king was confused, not understanding who would be threatening me, and he promised to defend my honor. So when he asked who it was that was threatening to kill me, I told him it was his most trusted advisor, Haman, because he was dead set on killing the Jews, and I too was a Jew. In a quick turn of events, the king commanded that Haman be put to death, impaled on the very pole that he had erected to kill Mordecai with. And the king issued another decree saying that it was not his will that the Jews would be killed, that any Jew who was attacked had the right to defend themselves. He offered his support. And so on that day appointed for our death and destruction, God's people were not wiped out, and instead we were saved. And many, many people throughout the land turned to God because of his saving grace. There was a great celebration throughout all the land, and Mordecai even became one of the king's most trusted advisors. And I got to live my life honestly, being both a Hebrew woman and queen. Because I was willing to take a stand, I got to be true to my faith and true to my people. Looking back on my life, I'm amazed how God has guided my steps. When I was younger, I never really understood why things were happening the way they were happening, why God would let horrible things happen to me, or why it seemed like God was silent when I suffered. And yet now I see that no matter how difficult it got, God was with me every step of the way, guiding me and directing me and urging me on. Even when I turned my back on him and was seduced by the world around me, God was still there, loving me and inviting me to follow him, forgiving me for how I fell short. And if I've learned nothing else from all my long years here on earth, it's this: just how important it is for us to stand up for what we believe in, to never turn our back on God, and to proclaim to the world what is true to us and true to our people. God has placed each of us in our lives for a reason, in a particular job, a particular school, a particular family. He has you there for a purpose. And so, friends, I ask you today, what purpose has God given you? What is he inviting you to stand up for? It's amazing to be a part of what God is doing in this world. And who knows, maybe you too will find the courage it takes to live boldly and make a difference in the world around you. And if you do, you too will discover that God has great plans for your life, and that you too were created for such a time as this. Let us pray. God, I thank you that you have called us and that you have placed us, God, and that you walk by our side. I thank you that we have so many heroes of faith that we can follow in their footsteps, flawed and all, and that you still choose us and still choose to use us. I ask that you would make us bold in proclaiming our faith, to never let an opportunity pass by for us to speak your truth and act in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.